Welcome to Sports Report Podcast. I'm Aiden.
I'm Alejandro.
And I'm Billy. And today we're going to be talking about various topics. The first one is going to be Antonio Brown. So last night, Antonio Brown, it was reported he was heading to Buffalo, to the Buffalo Bills specifically. And he was going to be traded. We didn't know the compensation in return for him. But this morning, it was reported that trade talks broke down. Buffalo is moving on to free agency. And they got to move on from Antonio Brown trade that looked a little questionable at first, seeing that Buffalo with a quarterback, Josh Allen, rookie, he's really not a thrower in my mind. His stats are atrocious. You look at his Wyoming stats. He's like 0-5 versus Power 5 conferences. When he came out, I thought he was a bust. He didn't perform well in his rookie season. And just putting Antonio Brown in that situation, it's not good. First of all, Antonio, I think if he got there, he would have wanted out. What do you think, Aiden?
I completely agree. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to trade away your young assets when you're trying to rebuild.
Yes. So if we don't know exactly what they're going to trade away, but Antonio is going to attract big offers. His offer would probably be, I'm not an expert or anything, but his offer would probably be around a first round pick. I would assume maybe some more draft picks, maybe a couple seconds, something like that. With a team like Buffalo, who's rebuilding, they don't have a lot of pieces. Their wide receiver core is thin, very thin. Their first wide receiver, I think, is like about Robert Foster. I think that's his name. Wide receiver from Alabama. He was a rookie last year. He did pretty well. He's definitely not a number one wide receiver. A lot of teams are having this problem, including the Jets. They need wide receivers. They were interested in Antonio Brown. But they pulled out along with the Cardinals, according to Adam Schefter, I believe. And, you know, just where do you think he's going to land? I'm not sure where he's going to land. He said in a Facebook Live video that he knows where he's going. Stay tuned. So we're not really sure where he's going to go. I think a possible destination could be the Indianapolis Colts. I think this might not be a realistic one, but I think the Colts should make this move because the Colts have great pieces in line right now. Marlon Mack is great running back. You know, they could be in the line. He's got even Le'Veon Bell. Marlon Mack's still a great back. And they could keep him and they could win. Andrew Luck, great quarterback, all pro, coming off the injury, did amazing. He can play. He can still play. And then we got T.Y. Hilton, the number one wide receiver. You need help around him. They got rid of Dante Moncrief to the Jaguars. He didn't work out well in Jacksonville. I believe he might have got released. I'm not sure. But they're not going to take him back. They need a real number two wide receiver or another wide receiver to pair with T.Y., like a number one wide receiver like Antonio Brown. So Antonio Brown would be a great option for the Colts. They have a lot of assets to trade for him too. They have a ton of cap space. I believe the number one cap space in the NFL. About 12 draft picks. And I mean, it's just crazy. We need Antonio really bad in Indianapolis, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. They have all the pieces lined up. It might not be that realistic, but he seems like a really great fit for that organization.
Mm. Some what do you think other teams for Antonio?
I'm thinking if Arizona wanted and was really eyeing Kyler Murray, that he might be a good fit, but they don't really have many good aspects to trade away other than their pick that they would probably get Kyler Murray with.
Yeah. I think that would be too high of a pick to really give away for Antonio. But, you know, they could give around a few seconds if they're said to be out, but they could still be in. I'm not really sure. Antonio, nobody knows right now. We thought he's going to Buffalo. He's not going to Buffalo. We just don't really know. A lot of free agency news happened today also. I want to hit on that. I don't know what some of these guys want to talk about. So that's really all I got for Antonio Brown. But if during the show today in the podcast, when we're filming, recording, if we get any news on Antonio Brown, we will report that. It's very important. One of the biggest news stories in the NFL going right now and in the sports world. So anything you guys want to talk about? Celtics, Lakers, anything like that?
I think we'll move on to Champions League.
All right, Champions League.
Yeah.
You guys take that away.
All right, so Real Madrid, really struggling. Manager is about to get sacked. Courtois is not performing like he should be. And Bale is not living up to the hype. What do you think?
Yep, 33-time La Liga champions, winners of the three last Champions Leagues, and they crumbled against Ajax, who were not expected, not favorites, and not even first in their Dutch division. They got humbled 4-1 by Ajax, and they weren't really in it at all.
I mean, to be fair, those goals by Ajax were pretty spectacular.
They started off right from the beginning, 7th minute, struck again 18th, and by the time Marco Asensio scored in the 70th, they were already losing 3-0, and they added the final nail, 4-1, the 72nd, overturning their 2-0 lead from the first leg.
Yeah, and along with that, PSG crumbling as well. A lot of expectations for them, but they were also plagued with injury and still weren't expected to give up a comeback to Manchester United, who is just absolutely destroyed with key injuries on their players right now.
But it happens.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Neymar watched from the sidelines as Manchester United won over PSG 3-1 in a dramatic comeback. Lukaku scored 2. He's been criticized a lot this season for his finishing ability and his ability to live up in the big games. But he was crucial here for Manchester United, scoring right from the beginning. 2nd minute, PSG tied it, but Manchester United kept on strong, scored the go-ahead goal 2-1, 30th minute, and a controversial call that went to the VAR gave Manchester United a penalty last minute, and then in the 94th minute, Marcus Rashford scored a penalty that sent Manchester United into the next round.
All right, and moving on from that, I think we're going to move over to basketball here. The Lakers, really, really,
really bad.
Yeah, there's really no describing how much of a bust they have been compared to the hype that they got.
Yeah, losers of 4 straight. Say, never really bought it.
Yeah, LeBron. Yeah.
I mean, I would think LeBron would help them at least get into the playoffs because, I mean, he's LeBron.
Yes.
Yeah.
But losing a key asset like Lonzo, maybe for the rest of the season, and literally probably zero chance of getting to the playoffs. It was reported
earlier today that Lonzo may have missed up to the rest of the season, so any hope Laker fans had of Lonzo somehow saving their season are swiped away because that's not happening.
And LeBron magic, you know, it's happened before, a lot before, but I don't think it's coming.
I don't see it. The Western Conference is too rough for that.
They're down really bad. I believe they're in the ninth. They're 30-34. The T-Wolves,
I think they're 10th. I think the Kings are ahead of them.
Yeah, the T-Wolves and the Kings are actually, like, coming up on them, behind them. I think T-Wolves are one game behind them. It's a horrible Timberwolves team. And I just don't know what to say about them, really. They've just been bad. 30-34. They've lost their last 4 games. They lost to the Suns. They played a competitive game in Milwaukee. Against Milwaukee. I'm not sure if it was in Milwaukee, but they did play a good game against Milwaukee. Milwaukee's been struggling lately, though. They've shown some light spots there, but a lot of disjointment. Rondo sitting with the fans earlier this week, and just the disconnect between everybody. I think really after the Anthony Davis rumors, when those finally came out.
Because LeBron was injured during the rumors. He was just making up from the sideline.
Yeah. He destroyed the chemistry in that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the trust that anybody had in LeBron there, that they thought that they were good teammates and that they were tight, they were all good, they were there, they were going to be the ones to win a championship. That's what they thought. They didn't think that they were going to get traded away. It's a business. It's the NBA, and LeBron's that way. LeBron is a manager. He wants to manage. He doesn't want the coach to have the power. He wants to have the power. He wants to have the GM. Doesn't want him to have the power. He wants the power. This is why I don't like LeBron. But LeBron, I knew it would catch up to him sometime. He's destroying the Lakers. I think he's the one destroying them right now from the inside. It's like an inside job that Cleveland sent him over. Cleveland did not send him over.
This is for you.
But but really, a thing that I think that happened, LeBron, he's HBO. He has all these shows and things like that. Since he got to LA,
his reach is overwhelming.
He started these shows and stuff. He didn't go to LA to win a playoff game.
He didn't go to LA to win a championship.
He went to LA for an advertisement.
Yes, he went to LA to get more famous, be a movie star, build his brand with Nike, build all of this, get more people involved with him, and then retire and have all this stuff after. Same thing that's happening with Kyrie Irving. He wants to be a movie star. He wants to do all this stuff. It's kind of destroyed the Celtics a little bit. Their chemistry has been bad, and that's another downfall. Yep. From this year.
Chemistry is an underrated aspect. Lakers are actually ninth right now, 30-35, tied with the Timberwolves. Mm. And yeah, been disappointing for them, especially getting the world's best player at the time.
Mm. All right, moving on to the Celtics. They really were struggling with and without Kyrie Irving, but stats showed they were winning more games without him.
See, yeah. Danny Ainge even said it. He was answering that question. I'm not sure exactly what he said, but I think it was more to the fact that it doesn't really matter right now. Kyrie is the star player of the team. He's the leader. You look at his stats, he's a winner, and he does all this. He has been hurting the team a little bit, but you can't really just get rid of him and go along. The team has been winning lately. I believe they're on a 3-game win streak around there.
And Hayward's on a hot streak
Gordon
as well.
Gordon Hayward has showed up against Golden State 30 points. And I believe they beat Golden State by 33. Golden State a little down. They didn't have Klay Thompson. He was injured. But they still had amazing teams. They definitely should have beat the Celtics. How bad did they were doing? Excuse me. But the Celtics, I don't really know right now.
I mean, when you're the best player, you're going to get the criticism. Celtics, seeing at the 5 seed, they were expected to probably won the championship with the run last year without Kyrie or Hayward. Mm-hmm. And the whole season they've shown that they can compete with the best. They've stayed up with all the top teams, like they showed against the Warriors. When they play as a team, no one can stop them. But they haven't done that this season. Chemistry issues have hurt them all season.
Yeah, do you think Gordon Hayward's back, Ryan? Any chance?
I think it's too early to say he's back. Yeah. But he's definitely showing signs that he is still capable. He's still a star player, and he's very talented.
I definitely think Gordon is not back completely. He's a talented guy. The injury really hurt him.
Yeah.
Defensive end, he hasn't been too good. Offensive end, he shows signs. He had 2 games against T-Wolves this season that he scored 30, went off. That Golden State game, most impressive game I've ever seen him play in Boston.
He's showing all where he's gained the bag.
Yeah, if he can just gain that consistency, this team is what we would think it was supposed to be.
A contending team.
Mm, yeah. What do you think? Like, how far do you think they're gonna make playoffs right now? I think if we get matched up with Indiana,
I think we can beat Philadelphia. Philadelphia has had no luck against us.
We've gone 3-0 on them.
Yeah, Boston is Philly's kryptonite. Like, they beat them every time. Joel Embiid cannot score against Al Horford all he wants. Mm. He cannot.
Joel Embiid, I think it's in his head right now.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid had the Sixers have the talent. They got Tobias Harris. They got Joel Embiid.
Al Horford gets in his head.
They got Ben Simmons. All these guys. TJ McConnell even sometimes. JJ Redick. Jimmy Butler. I forgot about Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler. This team's good. It's just
Their chemistry isn't there.
The super team era is really here. There's teams like this that would have won a championship 10 years ago. The Sixers 10 years
they're
ago.
They're still figuring things out. They're a young team.
The Sixers 10 years, they still need to figure things out. But like, if you put the Sixers 10 years ago, you put them in, what would that be, 2009? That's the Lakers and Celtics.
Yeah, that's Cavaliers, and they won like 6-6 games.
Mm,
yeah.
They might not beat the Celtics. They might not beat the Lakers. But they would definitely be in contention with them. They'd be Eastern Conference Finals. They'd be there.
Yeah.
They'd definitely be there. It's the super team era. You got Golden State. You got Oklahoma City. You got Toronto. You can consider that a super team with Marc Gasol, Kawhi Leonard, and
Kyle Lowry.
They're aging. But
Pascal Siakam's had a great season, too.
Pascal Siakam. Big
really,
surprise.
He's really promising for now.
Yeah. Just
definitely up there for most improved.
Yeah, Celtics even right now, even with their chemistry problems, put them back in a different decade,
especially in the Eastern Conference right now, where it's really just not a great bunch of teams. The Celtics should be able to make it with their experience to the Eastern Conference Finals.
They really should. They should make it to the finals. If every single one of them played to their full potential, it's not going to happen probably. But
if they keep playing like they're doing on this hot streak right now. It's not a hot streak just yet. But if we start winning a couple games, we keep going. You keep going like that. They
finish
should
off
make
the season,
finals.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they should make the finals. Without a doubt, they have the ability to beat every single team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
Western Conference, Golden State, they've showed ability to beat them. We're not sure if they're going to beat them in a 7-game series. I'd say Golden State has the edge.
They definitely do. Yeah.
Oklahoma City, maybe, if they were to make it. The Western Conference is very, very good. So I'm not sure how that would pan out, but very interesting.
Something else interesting in the Eastern Conference, we're talking about Philly and Boston as finals contenders, but Indiana stuck in there with 42 games. They're still the 3 seed.
They've been really impressive this year.
Without Oladipo went out with a knee injury, I think it was.
Losing their star player. They're still in contention.
They're still in there. Well, they did lose to Milwaukee last night, but that's no surprise. Milwaukee Bucks already secured a playoff spot, 49 wins. They've had a great season, honestly. Giannis
really controlling that team, surrounded by a whole bunch of shooters. It's unstoppable.
Chris Middleton, too.
Mike
very impressive.
Changed that team. He completely changed the culture there.
Great coach. Also, another fact I want to put up. They actually re-signed Eric Bledsoe. This is news from a little bit back. Yeah. I was a little surprised by this. You know, I'm not sure what age Bledsoe is.
He's like a 28, 29.
He's around there, yeah. I think they would want to go ahead with another point guard or someone like that. I would even think Kyrie Irving would look over there if he's not happy with the Celtics, which right now he's not. But they're sticking with Bledsoe. And
he'll be 30 next season, pretty questionable.
They could go with Kemba, too.
He'll be playing there until he's 33 on that contract.
Yeah.
They're just trying to secure the core and secure some chemistry because they know what he brings to the table. He also must be something great. He's a very hard worker.
They trust in him.
Yeah. Good defender.
Right now, they have a core that they can win a championship with.
Yeah. They have a lot of shooters. They have, like, Brook Lopez. They have Malcolm Brogdon, who's a 50-40-90 right now. Brook Lopez is shooting out of his mind this season, too.
It's insane. It's really surprising, but it's like he's out of his mind.
I mean, you look at Brook Lopez last year on the Lakers. You know, the Lakers has been the team in the past 5 years where really it's been pretty bad. And, everybody falls apart on the Lakers. I don't know what it's about the Lakers.
Yeah.
They're bad coach. No offense.
They do need a new coach. They really do need a new coach.
Magic Johnson. I don't really know how I feel about him.
You see,
he's no Larry Bird in the president's seat of a team. Larry Bird, what he did with the Pacers in the early 2000s, with Brandon Ron Artest and Jermaine O'Neal and things like that. He did amazing. I actually read about it in a book. 3 years, he led himself to that. Couldn't win a championship. Now the Palace pretty much ended that hope. But, you know, Magic, he's not that guy anymore.
So much, but...
Yeah. He wasn't able to bring in Paul George. He was able to bring in LeBron, but...
At the same time, the expectations are huge.
I think the main attraction for players that have an idea of coming to L.A. is... Just the
LA.
Idea
just
of
the
LA,
city.
Like the city itself, not the franchise. Well,
and
yes, the franchise, not the team right now.
The opportunities.
It's the history, the culture, and the city. It's not the team right now.
It's not the current state of the team.
If it was just if the Lakers were in Milwaukee right now, no one would know.
No one.
Absolutely not.
No one would care. You look at the Lakers, it's mostly because of the history, also because of their location. People love basketball in California, Los Angeles. They love basketball, and... that's why people continue to talk about the Lakers. The Lakers are in primetime slots even when they're horrible. When they've been horrible for the past 3 years. Primetime slots. They have some of the most primetime ESPN
Every
slots.
Year.
They're an atrocious team. Nobody really wants to watch them, but besides for Lakers fans,
and there's just
fans.
So many of them
there's
because
so
LA is such a big city.
They do set the bar up high though. They want every single free. They want Paul George. They're still talking about Kawhi. They're still talking about Clay. They're still talking about Jimmy. They're talking about Kevin Durant, Kyrie. They're about, they want
every free agent out there. They think that
they
have a chance
really
at getting
the same with the Knicks and with their crazy owner.
Yeah, those
things are not going to happen. well, it might happen, but you know, I'm just not really sure about it. So, should we transition on to the next one?
I think so.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to talk about Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Very interesting prospect. I got to say, I do love Kyler Murray. I'm going to bring up some things. I did some analysis on Kyler Murray once time.
He's very talented. I still don't understand why his hand size has such a big deal in the combine.
Yeah, well, mostly because of that is the grip on the football, the throws.
But he's shown he can make the throws.
Like, if he shows the talent and he's able to make the throws, he's clearly a good player. I don't think a couple inches of your hand should, like, dictate.
Yeah, it really shouldn't. So what I've looked at Kyler Murray, he throws accurate passes, beautiful passes. He can fit it in. He's good with those. He can make passes in tight coverage, as I said, fits it in. Boom. Can make really long throws. For a small quarterback, mobile, he makes long throws. And, you know, you're in the Big 12. It's a big, big throwing conference, offense. And the defense isn't that great. You know, Dakota Allen, maybe from Texas Tech, he's a good prospect. You should check him out if you haven't. But the guy, you know, Kyler Murray, he's not going up against great defenses, but he's shown against Alabama and stuff, he can still play against really good defenses, throw very long passes as a mobile quarterback. This is a Russell Wilson is that we're talking about. Kyler Murray is like a Russell Wilson. He's a great, great player, and he won the Heisman. I mean, that's all we can say. There's a lot of Heisman people that are bad, but I believe Kyler is a good player. You just see him play. He runs insanely well. He can throw accurate on the run, which is a big thing. He doesn't just sling it. He looks at his passes and he throws. And now one thing that we want to talk about is Kyler Murray. Will he go one number one? There's rumors about the Cardinals taking him number one. Cliff Kingsbury recruited him out of high school. They recruited him to Texas Tech, which Cliff Kingsbury was fired from and somehow got an NFL job because he's the offensive guru, the Sean McVay effect. Everybody wants the offensive guru. Everyone wants the high-flying offense. That's what Sean McVay caused the NFL to turn into. And there's rumors about him, Kyler Murray, going to the Cardinals because Cliff loves him so much. I think it might be a smokescreen. You know, Josh Rosen, if the trade rumors are true about Josh Rosen and him potentially getting traded for a third-round pick or something, I think it might be legit. Kyler Murray could go. You also have to watch Dwayne Haskins, Drew Lock, other quarterbacks like this in the draft that are pretty damn good. So, but Kyler, obviously, you know, he has that connection with Cliff, and he's probably going to go there if they trade Rosen. But if they don't, I don't see it happening. It really depends on the Rosen. The Rosen deal, if that happens, Kyler is going number one to the Cardinals. Or they trade now. It could happen anyway, but if Rosen goes, Kyler is going to the Cardinals without a doubt. What do you think on this?
I agree that Kyler Murray definitely has a talent to go number one. I could see every reason why someone would want him at number one. Mm. And the Raiders really showing that they want him, even though they have Derek Carr. They have Derek Carr. Yes. He's not a bad quarterback.
He's not.
He does get injured a little bit, but he is a talented quarterback. Probably he's pretty underrated in my mind. And John Gruden, just his dream team of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and Kyler Murray. Definitely not realistic, but, I mean, he could get one of those pieces pretty easily.
It is actually kind of realistic in a way.
Seeing how aggressive he is in the trade block.
John Gruden, yes. Very, very aggressive guy. He made a lot of bold trades, the Amari Cooper trade. We'll see how that works out for him.
His trades have not worked out very well for him.
Khalil Mack.
Unless he can find some really good players out of the draft picks he got, it does not seem like he traded away two of his most talented players, and I really we'll see if it works out for him. But I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, that Raiders team looked nasty back when they made that playoff run. They looked really good. I thought they were going to be the next AFC team. They were going to dethrone the Patriots in a few years. They were going to be gone. It was going to be all Raiders. Just win, baby. It was going to be real again. It was going to happen, and the Raiders were going to be a thing. Kyler Murray. Going to the Raiders, now they would have to trade up, I believe, possibly. I'm not sure where they're selecting. Let me check that right now. As for Antonio Brown, I think Antonio would be willing to go if he knew they were going to take Kyler Murray. Also, or if Le'Veon went there.
I think I think if Le'Veon went before Antonio Brown, it might deter Antonio, seeing the behavior that Le'Veon had in Pittsburgh with the whole holdout situation.
Yeah, I just think right now, I can't seem to find where this is, but Le'Veon and Antonio, I think they had a good relationship. The relationship that Antonio's been pissed off about is the relationship between the owner, I believe, the coach, Mike Tomlin, who is a hothead, and Ben Roethlisberger, who he said Roethlisberger thinks he's the big guy. He thinks he's the really, really good leader that he probably isn't. Ben Roethlisberger, as we know, I think Ben, this is a bold take. I think Ben needs to retire in the next 2 years. You know, Ben's been rumored to retire. They got Mason Rudolph in there. Ben probably has to retire. He probably has to soon. The interceptions have been catching up with him. We don't want to see a legend like Ben Roethlisberger
go out like
Eli Manning. We don't want to see that.
Also, Eli Manning, I really don't know what the Giants are thinking in keeping him, not really looking for a new quarterback. And
do you think this might be the draft?
I think this should be the draft, at least, where the Giants try and get a quality quarterback, maybe keep Eli for 1-2 years just to have a veteran bring up the rookie, teach him the ways as an experienced veteran. And then go out peacefully, retire, because Eli Manning is not performing like he is expected to.
Yes. Eli is – he's needed to retire for a few years. I just think Eli – you know, Odell and Saquon aren't going to get him over the hump. Landon Collins leaving. It's not going to happen. It did happen, but it's not going to help him out anymore. So they really need to get a quarterback in there. Dwayne Haskins rumored. They have number 6 pick. Dwayne Haskins very much rumored to go over there. So I think Haskins, good fit. Good, very good fit. I like Drew Lock. I think he's the best quarterback in the draft. We'll get into that possibly with a list later on, but we're going to move on to some college basketball. Yes, a Billy special list. Top 8 quarterbacks based off of highlights, also based off of some of my common knowledge of their stats. And that will be coming up soon, later in the show. Now we're going to move on to some college basketball talk about Duke and other things, Zion and things like that.
NCAA tournament, regular season coming to an end. We're going over to Big Ten, Michigan State versus Michigan. Michigan doing well recently. Last time they went off against each other, Michigan State pulled off the win. And the key player will be the Heisman nominee, Cassius Winston, the junior point guard at Michigan State. He's been impressive this season with 18.8 points per game. Played really well last time against Michigan. I watched him. He's a very crafty, smart point guard who sees the floor well. And I think he's going to be the key piece for Michigan. For Michigan State against Michigan.
Michigan State, definitely going to be top contenders in the tournament.
Yeah.
I haven't watched them a ton. I haven't seen college basketball a ton this year. But
their talents are definitely overshadowed by Duke, the other main teams.
Yeah, the top 3 prospects, as we know, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, and Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
The big 3 of college basketball. We never thought something like this would happen since the Fab 5 from Michigan in the 90s. And
this one too?
Well, I think this can go down in history books if they win. They're going to. They're going to go somewhere, I would think, unless they get upset somehow by Loyola Chicago, which I don't think is going to happen. I think Duke's going all the way.
I think they're going to the Final 4, but yeah. I'm not sure about them winning it all because they've shown weaknesses and they're very inexperienced.
Yeah.
All their star players that they rely on are freshmen. We don't know how they'll handle this pressure in the March Madness tournament.
Mm.
Yeah, Duke's been running without Zion ever since his injury. Barrett and Reddish have been trying to increase their draft stock by playing with themselves. Barrett's led the score in every single one of those games.
Barrett also
since UNC's game,
which
they lost. Yeah, they've lost 2 of the last 5 games. But That's not a horrible sign, although they lost that game against UNC 88-72, and they're going against UNC again tomorrow.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break right now, and then we're going to go into the next segment.
And we are back with some more college basketball. So, personally, I think the Tennessee Volunteers, they've been really good. They have shown lots of promise.
Bit of bias.
A lot of bias, all right? Yep. I like them. But they have juniors and seniors on their squad. They have more experience. Mm. Yes. They've been to a decent distance in the tournament before.
We're drinking water, so.
They
give me awkward looks.
They know what it's like in the tournament. They know what it takes. They know the intensity. So I think they could definitely get to the championship, or at least the Final Four.
See, I think that might be a little bit of a stretch.
Yep.
It's possible they can get to the
Final Four.
Bias showed. Bias confirmed.
Yes.
You know, he makes good points. Tennessee has a lot of experience, things like that, yep, that other teams don't, like Duke.
But yeah, I think if Duke makes it anywhere, it's just going to be their sheer talent just showing through. Mm. It's going
to
be.
I just think that right now, Tennessee, they lost to LSU. They've lost to Kentucky, teams that have been struggling this year. LSU has been very good, but compared to other teams, they haven't been as good. LSU, they've come a long way since Ben Simmons' year where they didn't make the tournament. They're going to make the tournament this year. They're ranked. They're a very, very, very good team. But Tennessee, when they were number one, they got beat by Kentucky, I think, when they were number one, and they got beat by LSU, which teams they shouldn't beat. A number one should not be beat by those teams. And what do you think? Do you think a number one should be beat by those teams?
I think they have really struggled against lower-tier teams.
Yes.
They've really showed up against all the more impressive teams. They've
imposing teams, yeah.
Imposing teams, the more talented teams. They've showed up and won those games. But when it comes to interconference play in a very weak conference for basketball.
SEC is all football.
Yeah. They really just cannot seem to know what they're doing.
Yeah, this is a team playing up and playing down to their opponents.
Mm.
And when they do win in the SEC, it's not like a demanding, convincing win. It's almost like a struggle where the opposing team has an opportunity to beat them at the buzzer every time.
You could say the same about Duke. They played against Wake Forest, almost lost that game. Wake Forest below 500. They're a bad team. They're a bad team.
They're four and thirteen. They're bad.
Yeah, okay.
They
are very bad. Thankfully, the buzzer beater by Wake Forest, it was very close. Inches away from
would have been
getting
very impressive. Would have been very impressive.
They're without Zion, but
I mean, obviously they used that as an excuse.
Yeah,
but still,
you still have two of their top five prospects.
Them by 20.
two of their original top five prospects. I don't know anymore. Yeah. Reddish. But.
No disrespect to Wake Forest, but you're bad.
And you should
not be beating Duke.
At least this season.
I gotta say, though, your kids get the hell of an effort. A really hell of an effort.
I mean, they're still a D1 school after all.
Yeah. But it's just not meant to be against schools like that. So Duke has the same problems.
Yeah, they do.
NC State really was they were looking pretty good at the beginning of the season.
NC State?
Yeah. They looked kind of decent at the beginning of the season. They fell apart.
Mm.
They're now 8-9.
I didn't expect them to.
That's a little sad.
It was kind of nice to have an underdog kind of finally coming in. Not really heard of.
Yeah, NC State, another thing I want to talk about. They like the same style of point guard. I believe they got Jalen LeCue coming in next year. He's a dunker type guy.
Plays at Brewster.
Plays at Brewster Academy. Aiden's seen him play.
Yes, I have.
And so the very similar point guard, Zed Smith Jr., Jalen LeCue, both kind of dunkers. They're scrapper type guys. They really like the same type of point guard, so I just want to point that out. So NC State, if you're a scrapper type point guard with dunks,
Jalen LeCue is committed to NC State.
He signed. So
yes,
that's official. 4-star point guard, 6'4", 180. Pretty damn
good size. Yeah.
Mm.
36 national, sixth in his position, which is point guard. He's going to be a good player next year.
He's pretty talented.
He's going to be very, very good.
Although the game I did watch them play, they ended up losing that game. And they missed their winning shot. But they did just win the National Prep Championship.
Yes. Very impressive.
For the sixth time.
Brewster. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that team is stacked, actually.
They always are.
We're going into high school basketball prospects. But, you know, this should be interesting. These are the guys you're going to see next year. Anthony Walker, another guy signed to Miami. They have a lot of other signings. Those are the ones that I know. James Wiseman, he doesn't go there. But he's the number one prospect.
Yep.
He's committed to Memphis. Of all colleges, Memphis. It's because he's from there. James Wiseman is going to be a very good player next year. LaMelo Ball. Yeah, I don't even know if he's going.
I don't.
College. I don't know if he's.
He might not be eligible.
The mock drafts. He's like in the second. Like he's like late to the first round. He's in the like the only thing that keeps him back is his inconsistency and his poor shot choice.
And how he
pulls up from wherever. He does not care. It's kind of it would really hurt a team if he was in the NBA. It would be way worse than Russell Westbrook because he just pulls up on his own account. He does not care. He just shoots from his. From wherever.
Lithuania killed the Ball Brothers, that's for sure.
And his shooting is not as, like, it's not the cleanest shooting stroke ever. It's not the most consistent. He literally winds it weirdly.
I think LaMelo Ball could, if he goes into a college or professional team, he could completely ruin the chemistry of that team. Seeing what his dad did with Lonzo and knowing how much more talented Lonzo is than LaMelo. His dad would absolutely rip apart the chemistry of that team and start blaming everything on everyone other than his son.
Yeah, I think the Ball brothers, it's been a really interesting ride for the past 2 years, probably.
I think Jello is still trying to the G League or something.
We're not even sure who LiAngelo is anymore. We don't watch the reality show, so we don't know.
I just probably stealing something in China right now.
He probably is. No, that's the LiAngelo, but we don't know where he is.
He kind of deserves the ball. He's a rich person.
He never should have dropped
in China.
Never should have dropped out of college at UCLA. That was a horrible decision. Even if he stayed in there.
Same thing with LaMelo.
He probably would have declared.
He should not have dropped out of high school. They should not.
LaMelo should have never.
LaVar should not pulled him out.
Yeah, LaVar has made a lot of bad decisions lately. It's parenting choices that I would not make. LaVar, I don't think he just understands right now. He's trying to get all his kids into the NBA, and you got
the attention to him.
You got to go through the process. You can't take all these shortcuts. They're not gonna work. So we're gonna move on to our next stuff.
Yep.
So one thing I've been really hyped up to and talk about today is Brandon Ingram and how. He's underrated. Brandon Ingram's underrated.
He gets overlooked by Kuzma and LeBron.
He's also been coming into his own, too. He hasn't, shown anything impressive lately until, this streak.
Yeah, Brandon Ingram. Someone woke me up to this, actually. I've been a big hater on Brandon Ingram, not going to lie. I think that he is skinny. Very, very skinny for the NBA. I think if he put on some muscle,
he deserves some slander because all Lakers fans are saying that he's better than all these players who he's probably not. Comparing him to Kevin Durant, everything when he didn't prove anything.
Yeah, I just think a lot of people overlook him. He's a quiet guy. Why people don't talk about him? Why people don't hype him? Lakers fans don't even hype him up. I don't think that much.
They do.
Well, I haven't really heard it a ton. I've heard.
You hear Lonzo?
Lonzo.
Yeah. You definitely hear Kuzma and Lonzo more than
that. So,
you heard more about Zubac than him.
Zubac. Yeah, he's now in LAC. Horrible trade. Who did they get? They got Mike Muscala. Muscala.
The Clippers are honestly better than the Lakers right now. Their record doesn't show it, but they are playing better.
We were talking about this earlier in the podcast.
The Clippers are in the playoffs right now. So
Magic Johnson, his decisions have been horrible.
The only thing he's there for is to attract free agents. He cannot.
Yeah.
He has not put together an impressive trade.
Let's get back to Brandon Ingram. So Brandon Ingram underrated. This will tell you a lot. I'm not sure if you know these stats or not. But his 2019 stats, 33.8 minutes. So they're playing him a decent amount, a lot. And he's scoring. He's playing well. He's playing up to that. He's scoring 18.3 points per game.
on good efficiency.
Yeah, 49.7 field goal percentage. That I don't have his 3-point percentage exactly, but he's shooting 50% almost.
It's because the Lakers are just trying to make him someone who he wasn't. They were putting when LeBron comes in, he just makes the whole team. They didn't make the whole team shooters around him.
Yes,
and that's just not who Brandon is. He's a shot creator. He's a mid range guy. He is not a 3-point shooter. That's what he was made to do for the first half, and he was just that's not him.
Ingram also helping out Lonzo to not get those rebounds because the big men can't rebound, apparently, because Lonzo averages like 8 rebounds a game. Ingram, 5.1 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
Pretty decent for a guy his size who needs to get a little muscle on, not going to lie. Rebounds.
He said VH.
Well, actually, he has 3 assists along to go along with that. Brandon Ingram, his latest games. I looked at these. I was in a Jason Tatum and Brandon Ingram debate. I looked at these stats, and I didn't know what to say. His stats lately have been great. He played against the Suns, 39. This is a bad game against the Suns at the Suns. 39 minutes, 25 points, 10 for 19, 2 for 2 from threes, 7 rebounds, 1 assist. Spitball another against the Bucks. Good team. 39 minutes again. 31 points, 13 for 21, 1 for 4 from 3, you know. We don't expect him to shoot that
he's
great.
He's not a 3-point shooter, yeah. That's what he was made.
8 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 block. And Pelicans, 23 points. Grizzlies, 32 points. Pelicans, 29 points. Rockets, 27 points. Against the Hawks, 19. Against the Sixers, 19. So all the way since the start of February, he's been doing amazing.
Yeah, he's finally getting a chance to do what
he's been doing great. I don't understand how the Lakers can't win. They have such good young core. They have a great young core.
If Brandon Ingram develops,
it's just chemistry.
If Brandon Ingram develops right, he could be definitely one of the next stars in the NBA.
No, yeah. I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar or anything. I think
he could be.
He could.
A lot of young players have superstar potential. I don't know.
Doncic, Trae Young.
Yep. Yeah, but the Lakers, it's been in a losing streak. So it's not it's been great, but
he's been
playing well,
star,
but they have not
losing streak, and nobody's talking about it
because they're losing.
Because they're losing.
I mean, I guess
it's getting overshadowed by the losses,
LeBron's
but still
like
he's playing well.
LeBron's playoff mode.
His playoff mode is worse than his regular season mode.
Lost,
have you seen his defensive clips?
He lost to the Suns tank mode. Like,
let's be honest, Kyle Kuzma pushed LeBron to play defense. That's how lax LeBron has been.
I don't know if his playoff mode means turn off all defensive effort so you have more energy to hog the ball on offense, but it's not better than what his regular season is.
LeBron's end of career has turned interesting. Last season, he pushed the Cavs into the Eastern Conference final, but the thing that he did that season that should have been noted before he got to LA was that crazy flurry of trades near the deadline.
Yeah.
He just traded like half the roster. Mm. And then he tried doing that again with the Lakers, and that messed up the chemistry because no trades went through.
Mm. Yeah. Isn't it interesting that LeBron, whenever he comes to a team, is a bad coach? It's a coach he can take advantage of. Tyronn Lue, take advantage, takes the role. Luke Walton takes advantage,
the coaches have no... The
coaches have
because,
no authority in a
because
LeBron
he wants the
team.
Players to trust him more than they trust their coach.
Yeah. Kyrie's trying. He's apologized to LeBron. He's done
he's
all
done,
this.
Yeah, he's done most of his coaches. I mean, I guess he's used to it. It's a comfort spot because when he got into the league, he was on those awful Cavalier teams, and the coaches were. I mean, they didn't deserve a voice, to be honest with you. Larry Drew was the only decent one, and then after that, Eric Spoelstra got the most respect out of him.
I think Spoelstra is actually a good coach.
He is a good coach.
Spoelstra has held his own. He's bad Heat teams lately. The Heat. It's Hassan Whiteside.
No, they're just
and
a bunch
Deion
of
Waiters.
They're not bad. It's just a bunch of 3-and-D players. No, but this season's been Hassan's off the court. He's just kind of annoying with his work ethic and everything.
Yeah.
But they've still gone through. And Josh Richardson's having a breakout season this season. Mm-hmm. He's averaging like 18, I think. I share a birthday with him, so that's why I cared. And he's had a nice season. They're just a bunch of 3-and-D players. Like Kelly Olynyk and everyone like that.
So back to Brandon Ingram. I just think this guy, he can turn into a star. He can, you know what I mean? He's going to be a 90 overall in 2K one day. I think he will. He's going to be.
He can get there.
He's going to be a good player.
If he gets a chance, if he just keeps on being a square peg into a round hole, being forced to be a 3-point shooter all the time, that's just not him. He's a
shot creator. He creates his own game. He shoots. You can see the assist numbers. He's not a passer or anything.
So I kind of want to get into some NFL news that we've got.
It's Billy's list
lately. The list is coming up soon. Don't worry. In like 5 minutes, you're going to get the list. The magical list. At come draft day, after draft day, when it's training camps and all this, trust me, I called Josh Allen last year, okay? It wasn't that hard because his stats were bad. I've made bad calls to Davion Clowney. I thought he was going to be a bust. That was a horrible mistake. He is one of the best players that I've seen in the NFL so far. But NFL news. Breaking yesterday, Case Keenum was traded to the Washington Redskins. I wasn't exactly looking at the
that trade was really overshadowed. No one really paid attention.
No one cared. And I have a soft spot for Case Keenum for his time in the Houston and his time in Minnesota. I really think he was a great player. He was a great player in college at Houston. I believe he was a Heisman candidate. He didn't get it obviously because he's a small school guy, but he was a great player. He still is a great player. I think Washington making this move, I'm not sure what the picks were involved with it. But it was a great, great move. And Case, he's going to turn that team into, I think, a decent winning team. Alex Smith.
I mean, the Redskins have such bad luck with their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Robert Griffin III. He was a pretty talented quarterback.
Great quarterback.
Got ripped apart by injuries. They traded for Alex Smith, top-tier quarterback. Fantastic. Awful injury.
Awful.
We don't even know if he's coming back.
We don't know about next season, and I think this leads us to believe that he's not going to be ready for next season. It's going to be Case Keenum show next season, and we'll see how it works out. But
trading for a quarterback that has the ability to start instead of just someone who you would keep as a second string.
Mm-hmm.
Someone like him who's going to want more money, obviously, than a second-string quarterback, like a second-string potential quarterback, it obviously shows that they're not expecting Alex Smith to be back anytime soon.
Yeah, and I just think another thing, we're not sure what the Redskins are doing right now, because right now the Redskins are like, they have Case, and they have Alex Smith, and are they building around Case for the future, or are they just testing him out for a season as a placeholder for a quarterback they're going to draft? We're not sure what they're going to do. They could draft the Drew Lock. They could draft Dwayne Haskins. Well, Dwayne Haskins probably is a long shot. Kyler Murray, if he slips somehow. With some other quarterbacks in there. Daniel Jones, who I don't really like that much. You'll see that on the list. So I think Case can be a good player in Washington, and we'll just see how it turns out. Another signing today, Olivier Vernon, a highly touted defensive end for the New York Giants, was traded to Cleveland Browns for right guard Kevin Zeitler, who is one of a pretty good guard. I was surprised by this because Cleveland has a pretty good D-line already with Myles Garrett and guys like that. I was about to say Danny Shelton. He's not there anymore. he's on the Patriots. Guys like him, Emmanuel Ogba, I haven't really seen him a lot, but he seems like he has good potential. So anyways, Olivier Vernon for the...
What did you say? Ooh, I can't type.
Yeah, okay. He's trying to do things off screen. Look up stats.
What?
You know?
No way.
No way. Yeah.
Stats.
That's what we do.
Stats.
We love stats.
Stats.
Stats. Anyways,
Olivier. We love the factuals.
Yeah. So, anyways, stats to Olivier Vernon. This trade, I'm going to have to give, this gives an indication that they might go after a player right guard or something like that. But Olivier Vernon does hold up their defense. You know, you got two ends. You got Olivier, and you got good players like. All right, can we cut that? Let's cut that out.
Just keep talking.
All right, Olivier Vernon. Anyways, the Cleveland Browns got him, and that's what happened. You guys can take your vote on that. I think it's a good trade. It's a good one. Marcus Gilbert, another good offensive line. He was an offensive tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They continue
to trade their assets and let them go. Marcus Gilbert is currently gone from Pittsburgh. He got traded to the Arizona Cardinals, and good pickup for Arizona. You know, they're building a contender. If they can get Kyler and stuff like that, they can build a really good team. So yeah, and Marcus Gilbert, he's going to the Cardinals. So now a big news today that I want to talk about with Aiden.
Yes.
Michael Bennett.
Yes.
33-year-old defensive end, 9 sacks last season for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Didn't he have 2 forced fumbles?
I'm not sure, but he had 9 sacks. So pretty good season. Fourth in sacks, I believe, behind Aaron Donald, a couple other guys. Yannick Ngakoue, I believe, one of the guys for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So he was traded over there for the Patriots. I believe they got
a fifth-round pick.
Fifth-round pick was traded for him.
And the Patriots got a seventh-round pick and Michael Bennett.
And this is not 2019 picks, 2020 picks, so it's for next year.
I think the Patriots win this trade. Without even really looking into it, it's a win.
It's a win, but... scary thing about it is Trey Flowers possibly could be gone after this.
That might be why we're trading for him, for someone like Michael Bennett, having suspicion that Trey Flowers, there's a very low chance he resigns with us.
Yeah, I think there's a chance, but there's not really. Miami's coming with a ton of money, and you know it's looking a little dark after that trade. If Trey's going to come back or not. But, you know, we'll see, and next week maybe we'll have some news on for you. Next Wednesday is start of NFL free agency. Nick Foles possibly going to the Jaguars. We might be talking about them in the next episode, NFL free agency. When that wraps up, we'll be 2 days into it, and it'll be pretty good. So tune in for the next one. Also, it's finally time.
For Billy's list.
For the list. Boom, boom, boom. The list. All right. It's time for the list. Let me get my list.
Get the list. Come on.
Get the list. The list. All right. So this is highlight list of all the college quarterbacks and things like that I think are going to be pretty damn good. So I'm gonna start at number 8. This is without Tyree Jackson from Buffalo. Just letting you know. So number 8 is Jarrett Stidham. I did some analysis on him. He checks down way too much. He throws on the run. He's a good runner, but he's not very aggressive. He has an okay arm. He can't really throw it that long. He had a bad year with Auburn last year. He's not an NFL prospect in my mind. This is a college guy. So Daniel Jones, this guy is a first round projected guy. Don't really know why. Small school, football school, small Duke school. So Daniel Jones, he does have a strong arm, very strong arm. Daniel Jones is the same thing that I see with a Josh Allen. Daniel Jones, strong arm, doesn't throw well in tight coverage. He runs well, and he can throw on the run. He's not a good player, I believe. You look at the highlights, dude doesn't throw in tight coverage. He can't fit the holes. He just throws it up there and lets his wide receiver go get it. It's just like Josh Allen. Just like him. Don't fall into the trap of Daniel Jones. Number 6, Ryan Finley. This guy's a fourth round guy. He could be interesting. He has an average arm. He's accurate. Can run. Aggressive passer. Can make tight passes. Not an exactly great quarterback. Probably a good backup. This one really is surprising. Washington State quarterback Gardner Minshew. This guy is projected late rounds. I don't even think he's projected to be drafted, maybe. But the guy... he's just a crazy, crazy good. But I think he might be too college system for the NFL. He has amazing throws on the run. He's calm in the pocket, strong arm, accurate, aggressive thrower. He makes tons of defenders miss, but he might be just a little too college system, too runny, Robert Griffin III type guy. So who knows? Number 4, Dwayne Haskins. Now, everybody's pretty high on this guy. I don't know about it. He has strong arms, accurate, can somewhat run, come in the pocket, can shake tacklers. He has aggressive play style. These next 4, I think, can all be stars in the NFL. Dwayne Haskins can be a star. Big numbers at Ohio State. Ohio State produces great quarterbacks. He's kind of college, not college system, NFL system. He can fit. He can throw pocket. He can throw outside. He ran a really slow 40, but dude can truck. He can shake tacklers. I mean, that's what he can do. Now, number three, this is a big shocker right here. I put Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, the guy who's predicted to go number one. He's accurate, can make passes in tight coverage, can make the long throws. He runs insanely well and can throw accurate on the run. I mean, he's a good player. He can do all the things that you want. Thing is, I don't like to bring up this because short quarterbacks are good, but he is short. He is not the ideal NFL quarterback. He's more of a kind of like a, I don't know what I'd compare him to. He's not Cam Newton. He's not that big. Colin Kaepernick, he could turn into that. Who knows? But I think he's a good quarterback. He'll do well in the NFL, definitely. Now, these are the top two. These are the top two guys that are going to be good. Mark my words, these guys are going to be good. If they have the chance, they're going to be good.
Words marked.
Words have been marked. Okay. Will Greer, he has a very strong arm. He's accurate. Common pocket. So this is Will Greer from the West Virginia University. He has strong arm. He's accurate. Common pocket. Makes throws on the run. He can run. He can throw into very tight coverage. He's aggressive. He makes aggressive throws. And he goes after the defense. The dude can ball. He plays very well. He throws all over the place. He can run. He's clutch. I believe it was a game against Texas that he did very well in. He's played well against good competition. He doesn't play in a bad conference at all. He can play. And I think he's projected third. He could go late first, second. It's not really sure. A lot of these quarterbacks, we're not sure where they're going to go. But Will Greer, definitely a guy to watch out for. I think he's going to be good. And number one, I don't know you guys have been keeping track, but number one is Drew Lock. This is my favorite quarterback. And if he could go to my favorite team, I would love him to go there. Drew Lock, I think, should be a number one pick. This guy is crazy. From Missouri, he threw 44 touchdowns in his junior season, I believe. Dude's crazy. Strong arm, he's accurate. He's very calm in the pocket. Doesn't let any defenders shake him. He just throws, and he can run. And he's very physical when running. Fits the throws in tight pockets. He's just all around. He is a leader. He's an NFL guy, and he is definitely a player you want on your team. So that concludes my list. You guys check it out. Make your own list, maybe. Who knows? Think about it. Think about it. So is that going to end the podcast? Are we good?
Yeah, this has been Sports Report Podcast.
Looking for a better name, so.
Yes, we're looking for a better name, but
check out the Instagram story for that.
Check out Instagram, Twitter, Sports Report Podcast. So we'll see you guys later, and have a nice day. This has been Sports Report Podcast.
Thank you very much. Aiden checking out.
Billy checking out, definitely.